Hello, everyone. This is Mark from Carpool Conversations. So, yeah, we got this new episode coming out today, and wouldn't you know it, one of the microphones crapped out on us. So as you're listening to this, you'll hear us talk about part two. We'll see you on the other side. We never saw you on the other side. We apologize for that, but we do have another microphone on the way, and we will be back with a full episode probably next week. So enjoy this episode, and thanks for listening. Welcome back, everyone. It is Carpool Conversations. I am Mark.
Yes, you are.
That's all you got?
I'm Jim.
Damn it, Jim. And we are heading home after, it's a Monday, November 10th, and it's been a long day at work, and I gotta tell you, I'm dragging a bit today. I don't know how you're doing, but...
I'm feeling pretty wore out, too. I went to bed real early last night, which means I woke up at 4:30 a.m. this morning. So I'm already, I'm bushed.
You're bushed.
I'm bushed.
Okay, so I'm trying to adjust these levels here, and it's like half a millimeter is like 1,000 decibels, according to it. Yeah.
So basically what you're saying is we're going to sound really quiet, and then all of a sudden we're going to sound loud as heck.
Yeah, something like that.
And then back to very, very quiet
again.
Yeah,
I think I've got this about evened out here, but if it sounds like shit, it's because we suck.
We're doing this in a car, people.
Yeah, we are. And hopefully we won't clip too much. I probably ought to just put them both down a little bit and then zap them up a little later on in post, but
sure.
I'm not exactly a sound engineer, so I really don't know what the hell I'm doing. So, are you still in the throes of the wonderfulness that was the election, or are you kind of like me, like, all right?
I'm well, I think so. I'm not in the throes of euphoria that we kicked ass, because Republicans did kick some major butt, and they gained in both House and Senate. But I think, yeah, kind of bringing it all back around. We talked a little bit about it last time, and I was listening to the Chatterbox today.
Plug.
They're just crying out for plugs.
Plug.
So we like to listen to the Chatterbox.
They've got like 70,000 more users or listeners.
Yeah. They've got five. We've got one. But yeah, I think Chad was really nailing it on the head. You know, his whole rant about he called into.
Who is he nailing?
He's Mr.
Who's getting head? Was Brian getting him head?
I don't know.
I bet he was.
Yeah, his whole point was that it wasn't necessarily that people were rushing to the polls to validate the message that the Republicans were putting out there. It was kind of what we talked about. It was the anti-Obama backlash that kind of pushed things over the top. And I think to a large extent, I think I have to kind of agree with him.
I would too. I'm gonna throw a counter argument this way. Brokaw was on wherever the hell he was on, Charlie Rose or something, and basically said that Barack Obama was damaged goods because Fox News, along with talk radio, hammered him 24/7, because apparently that wasn't happening in 2008 and 2012.
Wow.
Yeah. And I don't know that Fox News and talk radio hammering Democrats 24/7 in 2006 had any problems with them getting in and taking the House and Senate in 2006. Now, this is typical to me. I mean, Brokaw is
Yeah, sure.
You know, he's old school, and he's, I mean, all these guys, they're just, what Goldberg's
they're
saying.
They're apologists.
Well, they're more than just apologists. They're
cheerleaders.
The bigger point here is that what he is saying and what he read, Peter Wenner.
Wiener.
Sure. For commentary. This is not Game of Thrones. Got several months to go. Okay. There's plenty of reasons for Republicans to be buoyed. They have very impressive people, including people in their 30s and 40s at every level. Of the two parties, the GOP seems to be the one of greater energy and ideas. The Democratic Party and liberalism more broadly seem stale, aging, and exhausted. And I think there may be a point there. I mean, you have the first black woman getting put in Mia Love in Utah, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where's the NAACP? Nowhere.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You've got Tim Scott, African-American Republican, won the United States seat Senate in South Carolina. Nothing from the NAACP.
Well, because at the, you know, well, these folks were elected on their ideas,
on merit.
their content,
sure.
the character of their being, not the external stuff.
So his point is the NAACP is stuck somewhere between Selma and Montgomery and haven't left yet. And here's the funny thing, you know, everybody says that, well, the South is all Republican now because, you know, that's where all the races are. And the truth is, the South hasn't been all that Republican until 2004.
Yeah.
Like, there was one state that went over in 94. And then the one that won in Virginia, they haven't had a Republican since, like, Reconstruction.
Yeah.
I mean, the Democrats still were running the South, at least in a lot of the other seats. So something's happening, and I agree that the voters went out and they voted against Democrats, and I don't think the Republicans, at least en masse, put out a lot of ideas. But when I look at, like, guys like, you know, I guess they're having a PBS documentary with Ben Carson, and I really like him. He's not a politician, which they say, you know, of course. The old and busted people are saying, well, that he doesn't have any experience as a politician. It's like, I think that's good.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but we've had the experienced people in there, the lawyers and everybody else in there, doing the same stupid shit for the last six decades, and it's getting kind of old and tired.
Yeah.
Everything since the 60s, at least, so five decades. And so, do you think that the GOP... I mean, I think conservatism is the one of fresh ideas. I still do. I mean, we got lefty campuses now who are... You know, basically, this is how you have a conversation at lefty campuses. It's I word, W word, T word, C word, S word, B word, H word, the number six.
Yeah.
M word.
Right. Right, yeah.
Because no words are good to say anymore.
Yeah,
you can't say anything anymore because it's just like, and then they actually said the word cunt in reference to trying to say that cunt is a bad word to say. So they said, you know, they said the C word most of the time. But one person says, just in case anybody doesn't know what the C word is, that's cunt. So we just want to be clear on that. Okay,
you're gonna have to put a disclaimer on this podcast.
Yeah. So then then the transcript comes in. Okay. And what they wrote was, just in case anyone doesn't know what the C word is, it's actually, and then they removed it and put C word.
Morons.
So,
yeah.
You know, how much clarity can you have anymore in communication when you're shutting down free speech? Well, who's shutting down free speech? It's
the
liberals.
The left.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, shutting down free speech is as old as, you know, the Egyptian Empire.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, that's whoop-de-doo. You Well, we don't have. They use, you know, things like trigger words.
I'll go even further. I think it was the Assyrians. So I'll go even further back.
It wasn't the Assyrians. You know, the first time one came back, he pulled out the club when, you know, Grumblemeister said something about bones or mastodons and smashed him over the head with his club. And it's been going downhill ever since.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I guess my question to you is, are the GOP full of good ideas? I mean, I'm seeing, what was the chatterbox? Now I think about it, they pulled out the tape of the guys, of the black guys saying...
Rebel pundits, yeah.
Rebel pundits.
Yeah,
saying,
right. Yeah. Great video. I watched the whole thing.
Did you?
They just played a clip of it, which was really cool. I watched the whole thing, and it's great. I mean, they're saying, look, you have only yourselves to blame for putting these folks in charge. These black liberals. These are black men talking about the black liberals in charge and saying, you keep blaming the wrong people. It's these black liberals that you're putting in charge, and they're not making things better.
No. And you know, they've been doing it for 40, 50 years. Detroit's a bombed out hellhole now.
Yeah,
right. And you got to go, at some point, you got to say, hey, how could the white man be doing this? We're the ones in charge. It's our votes. We're doing, you know.
Yeah.
You can't. And finally, I think this was the one good thing I think that's coming out of having President Obama as president, redundant. The best thing I can say is.
What's his job title?
Dipwad, I don't know. You know, I can't even bring on
That's Mr. Dipwad.
It's Mr. Dipwad to you. I can't even bring on the funny today. I'm just terrible. I can't just make one stupid joke without just crashing and burning.
You really suck today.
I do.
I gotta say.
I'm tired. It's overcast. Everybody listening is already dropped off. I don't care.
I love it.
I'm going to bed now. Are you enjoying yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, shut up.
I love doing that to you. What was your thought?
I had no thoughts whatsoever. It's just gone. My thought was that only thing that's good of Obama being president is that blacks are kind of saying, hey, shit ain't any better. We had a black president, and shit ain't any better. Right. It's worse for us.
Well,
maybe it isn't about color.
You know, when I'm really old, I will be able to say that I witnessed a very historic act that, yeah, I was around when we voted in the first black president. And at the end of the day, it's like, you know what? That really didn't make any big difference. He was just as bad as some of the other presidents out there. and that is the thing that we've been talking about for a long time. It's not about race. And people, the people that are supporters, they say, well, you're not on his side because he's black. No, not on his side because he's wrong.
Well, and sooner or later, the wrongness becomes self-evident. I mean, we can look at all the things that have happened. You know, you can say, well, I supported the black president, and I'm not racist, and we all voted him in. Did that make the pocketbooks any thicker?
No.
Did the jobs get any better?
No.
Did energy prices go down?
No.
Did any of the good things that we need, did the sea levels, did they continue to rise?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know. Actually, I don't know.
I have no idea what the hell happened.
I'm gonna point my
microphone up at my mouth. Maybe that would help a little bit better.
Oh, were you talking?
No. Dead silence. At least they're both working. We had one where yours just broke in the middle of it. So all you heard was this one-sided conversation of me talking the whole time.
I think that probably would have been our best.
It was the best podcast ever.
You just turned my microphone off and it's gold. What else you want to talk about?
I don't know. Who gives a shit? shit.
See, this is where the Chatterbox guys have us. Their production quality is much better because they can sit around and drink while they do their podcast.
Or maybe if we drank, our podcast would be better.
Well, there certainly would be lots of interesting sound effects in the background. Either crashing cars or sirens, police chases.
Oh, those are always fun. What's the problem with that?
I think we could only do one or two of those, though.
Yeah.
That would be shut down awfully quick.
Yeah. Our podcast from Oz. Here we go. This podcast is 82% more rapey.
from the Leavenworth Penitentiary. Carpool Conversations. So there was a story that I saw this morning. It was, or maybe it was last night. No, it was this morning. When I got up, I was looking around on the web, and there's a story about Mike Brown's. You probably do not want to talk about Mike Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, but I just thought it was interesting.
He's dead.
Yeah, his mom.
Okay, your levels are all fucked up here.
Well, you're running the board.
Microphone pointing to the window or
no? It's pointing right at. Do you want me to swallow the damn thing?
Basically, yes.
I'm at the microphone.
I thought, oh.
So.
Yes, that too.
Yeah. Mike Brown's mom.
A little to the left.
She.
Oh, yeah, right there. That's perfect.
Her and her husband are, her, who's not, who I don't believe is Mike Brown's father. I don't know who's going over. So they're going over to Geneva to
talk. They don't know who his dad is.
I don't know. I don't know who his dad is.
Nobody does.
Well, whatever. So they're going over to Geneva to address the UN or the World Court or somebody to talk about profiling in America and all this
technology and stuff.
Yeah, technology and stuff. Well, it came out that last month she was in an altercation with the mother of Mike Brown's real father's wife. So Mike Brown's stepmother's mother, she got into a big altercation with her because she was selling Mike Brown t-shirts outside of a barbecue joint in Ferguson, Missouri. She had a stand-up selling Mike Brown merchandise.
Just selling merchandise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she rolled up with about 20 other people, and they kind of tore the place down, took all the merchandise and the money. So, and they kind of roughed him up. Her and her two friends that were working this stand. And so
seems like a real quality set of people.
Well,
you got going on.
So there's the potential for felony assault and robbery charges against Mike Brown's mother.
Amazing.
Which is like, well, doesn't that just kind of make you wonder, does the apple fall far from the tree?
Well, I mean, you know, this the inner city neighborhoods have been run so long by liberals and welfare state and all that kind of stuff. It's just created a class of people that are derelicts. And it's unfortunate. And yeah. and probably
and when you
because
say a class
of
people, you're not talking about any specific race. Well, you're talking about inner city people.
I am, but unfortunately I think the black race has caught it more in the shorts because of the history of the country. I mean, it wasn't there's people that
are alive
that still remembered things like colored water fountains. So they certainly got relegated quicker to this life. They weren't able to get back out of it.
Yeah.
And thanks to wrapping up your entire political identity and your skin color, you always have this built-in excuse, and you've got, you know, tons of white people who either afraid to say anything for fear of being branded a racist, or they're taking advantage of the situation for their own political gain.
Yeah.
And either way, black people are catching it in the shorts because of this. And this is just one more. This is just one more example of just. I feel bad for him. I mean, it's. I don't. The only way to fix it is to pretty much just kick them off the doles and let them fend for themselves, because they will naturally come together in more familial units. They will naturally come together and get more educated, try to better themselves. It'll be tough for a while, and I'm not saying you do it like in one day. You got to phase it all out and everything, right. But right. I mean, they're human beings. They can, anybody on the well, and you know, there's whites and all, you know, Mexican, all kinds of people that are on the welfare doles, and they all have these same problems. I mean, there's crime-ridden neighborhoods,
right.
And
right.
And it all has to do with how much the government is taking care of these people, so to speak.
Right.
Speaking of which, I'll tell you a story.
Tell me a story.
Pissed me off.
Now, there's a shocker. There was a story that pissed you off.
I know.
Have you bought the T-shirt yet that says "Get off my lawn"?
I copyrighted that T-shirt. It gets in my lawn all the time. Next door neighbors have a dog that's about the size of a hamster. It's a little Yorkie.
I was going to say, it's got to be one of those little miniature Yorkies.
It is. It's a miniature Yorkie, and it's the tiniest little thing. It's got a nasty little temper on it, and it keeps coming into our yard. Even though I fenced the whole fucking thing off, it gets under some nook and cranny somewhere that not even my smallest Chihuahua can get through. And a little bitch is in there just trying to hump or shit on, and these damn neighbors won't keep it, leashed up. Or for some reason, they can't keep track of this 3-pound fucking dog. I'm about ready to use it as a softball.
Now I forget. Did you have 5 marriages and 2 dogs, or is it the other way around?
Doesn't matter.
No.
Either way, I'm fucked.
My bad. 2 marriages and 5 dogs.
5 dogs. Okay. Yes. Right. 2 marriages and 5. But thanks for airing out all my public shame. Appreciate that. I'm not sure which I'm more ashamed of, the 2 marriages or the 5 dogs.
I'd say the 5 dogs. Yeah.
I let that happen. I really did. I let that happen. She had 2 dogs. So I already knew I was going in with these damn 2 dogs, right? And she felt bad, so she said, well, we got to get your kids a dog because they all have dumb dogs. I said, fine, we're getting a dachshund because I really like dachshunds. They're nice. They get very attached to you.
Yeah.
And so that was good. We had 3 dogs. That was good. And then we had this, for some reason, I got it in my head because I've gotten tired of these little tiny dogs running around everywhere. And I thought, I would love to have a big Labrador, just a big old dog. It's my dog, you know?
Yeah.
Dumb fuck. So I go and get one from the shelter, and it turns out it's a dog that's got like every dog disease known to man.
Oh man.
And we ended up spending a couple $1,000 trying to save this dog's life. It couldn't do it.
Oh yeah.
And we could have kept at it, but I mean it cost us $6,000-$7,000. Like, I can't. Fucking dog. I go out and get another one, right?
Well, so, and at some point because let's face it, dogs are man's best friend.
Yeah.
And you, if you're in that situation, you definitely don't want a dog to suffer.
No, I didn't. So
yeah.
We ended up getting the little black dog that I've got. We call him Cinder. And he's a mix of a border collie and a Labrador. And he's just phenomenal. He's not too big. He's a little bit bigger than the other dogs, but he's maybe 30 pounds. And He's just a really sweet dog.
Nice.
He's not hiking his leg all over everything. He's not mean.
He's not running into the neighbor's yard.
He's not running into the neighbor's yard. He listens. He was eager to please, and just the greatest dog I think I've ever had. One of them. And then the little Chihuahua last year, hers, my wife's, runs off. Every once in a while, she gets a wild hair and she runs off. She decides to run off when it's February 8th, and the temperature is minus 73 Kelvin. I mean, like, you spit, and it shatters when it hits the ground. It's that fucking cold. And I go out and run around. I'm trying to find this dog. Can't find this dog. For 3 days, the dog's gone. She's like, well, it's dead. I'm like, you don't know that it's dead. She's a skittish dog. She'll go someplace, and she's got her collar, and somebody will find her. No, it's dead. So she goes running out. She gets this boat Yoshan. It's a Yorkie and a Bichon mix. Looks like Benji.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Without telling me. She just goes out and does it. Oh, there was a bit of a disagreement that day. And I started doing shooters that night. So, sure enough, 2 days later, somebody calls and found the dog.
Sure, yeah.
Can we get rid of the dog that she just got? Can we give it back? No. Mm-hmm. No, no, no. You have to keep all your dogs now.
I'm attached to it.
So guess who takes out all the fucking dogs in the morning and everything? Guess who has to build the goddamn fence? It wasn't you. Hint. It wasn't Jim. So, anyway, why am I telling this story?
I don't know. I feel your pain. I feel your pain. Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Yeah. I don't know when I started wearing the crown. I'm pretty sure I'm not the boss of anything in my house. I just hide, put on the Netflix, and put on the earphones and hope nobody yells at me. So here's the story that pissed me off. Three were charged with feeding the homeless in Fort Lauderdale. I love how they say that, like somebody was feeding the leopards in Africa or something. You know, don't feed the animals at the zoo. Police in Florida arrested two pastors and a 90-year-old man who were feeding the homeless. Apparently, there is a new ordinance in Fort Lauderdale that essentially bans public food sharing. Now, this pastor, homeless advocate Arnold Abbott, and ministers Dwayne Black and Mark Sims were arrested Sunday. They face up to 60 days in jail and a $500 fine. Abbott runs a nonprofit group called Love Thy Neighbor. He says he was feeding the homeless in a park when a police officer told him to drop that plate right now. Drop the plate! What's on that? Are those leftovers? Is that mac and cheese? Getting up against the car!
Looks like we got about a kilo and a half of meatloaf.
Oh, you're going down for this. You gotta go down. What the fuck is this? Is this a Big Mac? Oh, you son of a bitch.
I'm curious. What pissed you off about this story, by the way?
Well, besides the obvious, I mean, just, you know, there seems to be a subtle thing in this country that says only the government can take care of the poor. First of all, you got basically the left saying conservatives hate poor people. No, conservatives hate government programs.
Yes.
To take care of poor people because they fail fucking miserably. But now it's gone beyond that. Now they're saying that, okay, we want to have all these programs to feed the poor, but now we don't want the charities doing it anymore.
Right.
I'm going to get deep into this because this whole country of self-reliance also begat all the charities. And the more people made, the more they want to give back. When you have a government cutting into that and basically making it pointless to give back.
Right.
Making it illegal to give back. Making in your own self-interest, you can no longer help the poor because you might get thrown in jail. What kind of attitude of selfishness is that going to breed across the country? And I submit to you, isn't that what's already happening?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, when you listen to people like Lena Dunham, who is so, you know, talking about how she's oppressed in this country and has no idea what the fuck oppression really is. And when you have this kind of stuff happening.
America the oppressed.
Yeah.
The oppressor.
Who is raised by rich parents, who has got her own fucking HBO show and has never worked probably a real day in her life, talking about oppression. And then, you know, how self-involved and selfish can you be? I'm willing to bet she's hardly done a thing for charity. She just likes to feel better about herself. And how many limousine liberals have we seen already, you know, preaching their, you know, looking down their nose and pointing their fingers saying, you don't care about the poor, when you find out they give nothing to charity, right?
Right.
So,
yeah.
what kind of attitude do you think it breeds when you're basically saying, tell the government to take money from people and do it themselves so I don't have to lift a finger, and so I don't have to give away any of my money, and I don't have to think about it? How much good could we possibly be doing? And now when you're actually saying, yeah, I know this was a local ordinance, and I know that it was one place in Fort Lauderdale, but I mean, these things start small somewhere, right?
Sure.
So you're telling basically people who are trying to help that they can't help anymore.
That's the government's job.
This is the government's job. And I got to looking at this. I'm going, why isn't this getting more play? This is much bigger than just a couple of people got arrested for violating an ordinance, a stupid ordinance. This speaks to me of an attitude that's running through this country that only sanctioned methods of charity are okay. Only what we say. And if you just go out and help somebody, you're a bad person. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, oh, my God. If we are criminalizing being nice to people?
Yeah, that's messed up.
Something has gone, and it's just a little blurb on the Fox News, and I just happened to hear about it on TV. And the guy says he's going to fight it. Good for him. But, I mean, I don't think this is the first time I've heard of something like this. You've heard of the people putting money into the meters?
Right,
to
yeah.
Help people uh-huh. for the parking?
Right.
So the fuck what? You're getting the money, right? You're arresting people for helping other people out. I mean, when the government goes to those kinds of lengths...
For stopping random acts of kindness.
Yes. Then we've got to put a stop to this government.
Yeah.
We've got to change people's attitudes on what government's role is. This is what we talk about. And this may seem like a little thing now, but when I talk about the role
of
government...
It's fundamental. It's fundamental about what we talk about.
Yes.
And it's personal responsibility.
And personal responsibility breeds charitable acts.
Yeah. If I want to go out and I'm responsible for myself and say, you know what, I'm willing to take on, as my own decision, the responsibility, a very small responsibility for someone else, whether it be handing out some food to someone who I see is visibly hungry. Hey, I got a little extra. Here, yours. Or I'm walking down the street and I see, you know what? This meter's about to expire. I'm going to put in a dime and give this guy another 15 minutes. That should just be my decision, my personal responsibility, saying, you know what? I'm going to reach my personal responsibility a little bit wider today and do something for somebody else. That's all my decision. When the government comes in and says, no, I'm going to impose on you this tax because I'm going to take, the government's going to take care of the person. Well, screw that.
That's the part one. The part two is we're going to criminalize it if you do it on your own.
And then we're going to criminalize it. You can't do it. Only we, the government, can do it. And oh, yeah, by the way, you have a horrible history of doing that effectively. You're terrible at it. Terrible. Yeah.
I have been. I read an article today about gratuitous worst use of the word of the F word and doing a little self censorship. And then censorship.
My counter is only up to two so far.
Yeah.
So
I've been keeping because I want to bring it out when it's necessary. But as far as criminalizing, helping people out to the government, I say, fuck you. But I am going to try to censor that down a little bit. And the reason why I'm going to do it is not because I have any issue with the F word or that I'm afraid of offending anybody. I want to be a little bit more imaginative in the way I communicate.
Right.
And a little self-censorship... a little good censorship could go a long ways into bringing out that more imagination. I'm not saying that I actually have any talent or that if this will work or that I won't revert to just fuck. But that could happen.
Hey, who cares? We don't have any sponsors.
I don't care. But I care for myself.
Yeah, sure. You got to set goals in life.
Yeah, you can set goals and go for them. Try not to use the F word more, less than 10 times in a show. I think that's a good goal. I'm going to go for it.
You're at 9. With that last tirade.
With that last, yeah, well, that was only illustrative. That wasn't an actual.
Oh, that doesn't count. Okay. No, no. Sure.
I reserve the right to, you know, in context.
Just in case anyone wondered what the F word was, it is.
Fantastic. and I mean that in both senses. Oh, somebody is calling me, I think. Nope, they're not. Your car's just vibrating me in a fun way.
Call in. Call our show.
Call our show.
Oh, wait. We don't take callers yet.
We don't take callers. This isn't live.
No, but we are going to... I'm going to try to call the Chatterbox next week.
Oh, yes. I'm going to... I'm going to sleep and not give a shit. I might try to call in.
You're
going to
be three sheets to the wind.
Passed out my own filth, yes. I believe was the...
Uh-huh.
Because... I gotta go with history. okay, so one other thing I want to talk about.
And this technology?
Technology and stuff. This should piss you off.
I don't know. It's hard to get me really pissed off.
Well, let's see if we can do that. One of the architects of Obamacare, this is from The Blaze. But it's really making the rounds today on all the different talk shows or blogs, talk shows. I don't know. It's out there on the interwebs. You know, technology and stuff.
Sure.
One of the architects of Obamacare said the law was written in a deliberately tortured way and relied on the stupidity of the American voter to ensure its passage. In a newly... Now, I'm going to interrupt myself. This comes as absolutely no surprise to me. I mean, I'm sorry, but the ignorance of the American voter is exactly what Democrats count on. And I see it in my own wife. I mean, it's not just... I got anecdotal evidence, and I see it just every day. In a newly unearthed 2013 clip, Jonathan Gruber, no relation to Hans... The MIT health economist who helped craft parts of the Affordable Care Act got fairly candid about the tactics to get the Affordable Care Act passed during the panel at the annual Health Economists Conference last year. Quote, the bill was written in a tortured way to make sure the Congressional Budget Office did not score the mandate as taxes, Gruber said in one 52-second clip. If the CBO scored the mandate as taxes, the bill dies. Okay, so it's written to do that. In terms of risk-rated subsidies, if you had a law which said that healthy people are going to pay in, you made explicit that healthy people pay in and sick people get money, it would not have passed. Adding in here my own editorial, even though that's exactly what it fucking does.
10.
I've already blown my goal. Try again next time. Gruber then trumpeted the value of the lack of transparency and called the American voter stupid. Quote, lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. Well, I bet it is. You can pass things in the dead of night. And basically, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever, but basically that was really critical for this thing to pass. Better for the American people to be saddled with a law they don't understand, Gruber claimed, than for them to understand the law and rally against it. Look, I wish we could make it all transparent, but I'd rather have this law than not. The original video that contained Gruber's comments was deleted from YouTube on Monday morning. This is from a tweet. Hey, University of Pennsylvania, pulling the Gruber video now really doesn't help your cause. University of Pennsylvania officials did not immediately comment to The Blaze on why the video was taken down. So let me see. It's here. Oh, well, go screw themselves. They've already got it here.
We cannot do it. Okay. All transparent spending. I mean... This bill was written in a tortured way to make sure CBO did not score the mandate as taxes. If CBO scored the mandate as taxes, the bill dies. Okay, so it's written to do that. In terms of risk-rated subsidies, if you had a law which said healthy people are going to pay in, it made explicit that healthy people pay in and sick people get money, it would not have passed.
Okay, just like the people, lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. And basically, you know, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever. But basically, that was really, really critical to getting the thing to pass. And, you know, it's the second best argument. Look, I wish Mark was right. We can make it all transparent. But I'd rather have this law than not. So it's kind of like his reporter story. You know, yeah, there's things I wish I could change, but I'd rather have this law than not.
Okay. So there you go. So what do we got a couple of things here. We got one.
Freaking elitists.
Yeah. Why do we have to have this law? Because people are stupid. Why do we have to?
They're basically saying democracy and a democratic republic is stupid. You should just...
We know what's best for
you. We know what's best for you. Just vote us, the elitists, in. And if, you know, if we could just be permanent aristocracy and we could control everything, that would be the best thing. But because we can't do that, well, we'll just try to manipulate everyone and...
Do
it through smoke and mirrors and manipulate everything to get what we want anyways.
I remember
reading an article about something Gwyneth Paltrow had said about giving...
Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yeah, giving Obama unlimited powers. It was something along those same... It was in the same vein. We just need to give this guy as much power as possible.
Well, we did.
Yeah.
Guess what happened? Everything is awesome.
Yeah. President business screwed us.
Oh, God. So, you got basically saying we need the American stupidity to get this law passed. And because we have American stupidity, that's why we need the law, because people aren't smart enough to take care of themselves. But if we make it too simple, people will realize what it really is. And then, I mean, I don't know. Is that stupid or is that smart? If we knew what it really was, we wouldn't vote against it. That sounds... We would vote against it. That sounds pretty smart to me.
Yeah.
But no, he's not relying on the stupidity of the American people. He's relying on the apathy of the American people. And if you, you know, obfuscate and complicate and make things, you know,
so,
and then tell everybody...
The combination of apathy and ignorance. Now, ignorance isn't the lack of intelligence, it's the lack of knowledge.
Correct.
And what he's saying is, if we...
That's just ignorant. You're so ignorant.
If we obscure the facts... So that...
Track.
Okay, well, we're back, because Einstein stopped the recording, so we're paused.
It's because you go around a corner at 70 miles an hour. I was holding on for dear life, and I hit the button. I'm
trying to make a point.
Yeah, well, you made me point right out of the car.
What I was saying before you paused us was that, obscuring the facts and keeping the American populace in the dark is not uneducated voters. Not stupid voters. It's voters.
Uneducated voters.
They're
just uneducated.
They don't have the facts.
Because they're too busy
watching.
So
it's not about the intelligence of the voters. It's about you manipulating the system so that you don't get the facts out in front of them so they can make an intelligent decision. Yeah. Which you, by definition, you said... The intelligent decision would be, I'm not voting for that. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. They wouldn't have, if it had been a tax and you say we're taking away from some people to give to other people, he's saying they wouldn't have voted for that. They wouldn't have agreed to that. Except that's exactly what it was. So you had to lie to the American people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if they were that stupid, they would have said, you take away from the rich. And there's some that are that way. Right?
Sure.
But not enough. So he's calling us stupid because he believes we're stupid, but he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, to him, someone is stupid if they don't agree with him.
There you go.
It's not about your intelligence. It's you're only stupid if you don't believe what I believe.
Yeah, and we need government to run healthcare. Don't you understand that? Canada does it, and they're awesome. Sure they are. Sure they are. So, do we want to do this in the morning, or do we want to do a short one?
I don't know.
We got a few things left to talk about. Do you want to talk about the movies? you saw this weekend?
Sure.
The one movie you saw?
Well, I saw a couple of movies. I went to the movie theater, and I saw Big Hero 6.
Did you do that theater hop thing?
No.
Oh, that's too bad.
I did that, but then I went home, and then I watched Saving Private Ryan, and I saw Defiance.
Defiance, okay.
Yes. I saw three movies this weekend, one at the movie theater.
I saw Maleficent.
Yep.
And I went and saw Big Hero 6. So I'll tell you what, let's talk about Big Hero 6 tomorrow.
Sure.
Because I would enjoy talking about that. Yeah. Maleficent. Oh, man. I am deeply conflicted about this movie. It was... If I didn't know the story of Sleeping Beauty, which is basically Maleficent's a bad guy, that's all. Yeah. You don't need to know anything else.
Right.
She's a bitch, and she's a witch, and she's going to, you know, cast horrible spells, and she's evil.
Puts the curse, yep.
Uh-huh. And she's evil. Why? Because she's evil. It's Sleeping Beauty. That's all you need to know.
It's Disney.
Her name is Maleficent, which is just a few syllables away from malevolent, right? It's not that hard to, you know. This movie basically made her the good guy.
She was the sympathetic character.
She was the sympathetic character, and it's told from her point of view. She starts out as a winged, kind of a winged fairy, but she has big eagle wings, like. And she protects the fairy folk. And the king in the human kingdom, adjacent to the fairy folk kingdom, he didn't like all the fairy folk, all these queers running around there. You know, you could see these political things in there. Yeah. All these weirdo queers and nutballs, and they need to be taken, all these magic folk, all these fairies need to be taken out, yeah. Right? Okay. I mean, if you take it at just this surface level, you might be able to enjoy it as a fairy tale or a different take on a fairy tale.
Right.
And I'm hesitant to destroy it too much because I don't think it's such a bad thing to do a different take on a story that maybe you didn't see before. We all know the story of Sleeping Beauty, so trying to come up with a different way, I hesitate to shred it too much because it's like, okay, that's something different. Right. But do we have to make it all about oppressed women and gays
fairies
and rape culture? Because in essence, what happens is, when she's a little girl, she meets this human boy. And they have kind of this, I wouldn't say a Romeo and Juliet thing, but they have kind of this friendship that could have bloomed into something more.
Okay.
However, the human boy, as he grows up, he becomes more interested. The king wants to try to take over the fairyland and destroy them all. He gets beaten back. And then he's dying after this battle. Maleficent pretty much kicks his ass, kicks the whole army's ass. And so he says, look, if anybody can go in there and get rid of her and, you know, stop the fairy folk, I'll give my kingdom. And, of course, this boy, grown up now to a man, he says, oh, well, his name is Stefan. He says, well, shit, I want a kingdom. So he goes over to kill Maleficent, even though he'd kind of grown up with her, been her friend, you know. And he doesn't kill her. They sleep. They don't have sex or anything, but they sleep together. And when she falls asleep, he gets out the knife, and he's going to kill her, and he decides to cut off her wings. And she sleeps through this. She wakes up, and her wings are gone. And he's gone, right? This comes across very rapey.
As Disney movies tend to be.
Yeah. I'm like going, wow, what am I seeing?
This wasn't a Disney movie, though,
right? This was a Disney movie.
Oh, it was
absolutely
a Disney, okay.
It was a Disney
movie. I know it's a Disney story, but I wasn't sure if it was a Disney movie. Okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, the story Sleeping Beauty, I think, is one of Grimm's or whatever. But
okay.
This was Disney's... I mean, they did the weird thing was they did the look of the film probably as close to the cartoon as you could possibly get. Angelina Jolie. Yeah, it's live action, but they're wearing the same kind. You know, like when you see, how many superhero movies do you see where they screw up the costumes? They don't really look like the cartoon counter.
Man of Steel.
But Maleficent, they really tried to make it look like the Sleeping Beauty movie. Yeah. And when she comes in and puts the curse on, I mean, it's almost
shot for
bit,
shot.
Yeah, bit for bit, the what happened. But now you're seeing it from, of course, you understand why she's mad, because Stefan, who gets the kingdom, marries the whatever queen and the daughter, and now has Aurora as his daughter, he done, you know, he's freaked out because Maleficent wants to curse his daughter. So the fairies, the three fairies, you know, the green, the yellow, and or green, blue, and red one.
Right.
They take care of her just like in there. They grow to natural size, and they're kind of bumbling and everything. In this version of the story, they are completely useless. They don't know what the hell they're doing. And if left in their hands, Aurora would have died in about 2 weeks. So
a miserable death.
Maleficent clearly knows where they are, has no problems finding them. They're not hidden from her at all. But she's keeping kind of a watch and wants the curse to work the way it's supposed to. The problem is that she comes to care for Aurora as she grows up, and really cares for her like a mother. Calls her the fairy godmother or whatever. But she comes to... And she actually tries to lift the curse. Unfortunately, she did such a good job, she herself can't lift it. Only true love's kiss can do it. So Aurora meets the prince, and then she finds out who Maleficent really is, and she runs back to the castle, and the curse kind of creates its own spinning wheel or something, and she pricks her finger, falls into the deep sleep. Maleficent sneaks the prince in there into the castle to give her the kiss. It doesn't work because they haven't known each other long enough. And then Maleficent says, "I'm going to do everything I can to protect you," and cries and kisses her on the forehead. And that's when she wakes up. Kisses, a mother's kiss is true love as well.
Sure, yeah.
So then she had this companion, a bird companion that she sometimes turns to human and turns into different animals when she needs it. She turns him into the dragon that Maleficent changed into in the cartoon.
Yeah.
No, it was actually this bird companion of hers. In the meantime, Aurora runs off, finds the wings, frees them, and they go back onto Maleficent's back, and she becomes the full fairy again, kills Stefan, Aurora's dad. Aurora becomes a new queen, marries the prince, and they have peace between the fairy folk and everything. She brings down all her thorns. You remember she created that. She brings it all back down. She becomes nice again. And it was all... The whole movie was women's victimization of men. So, my conflict. The movie wasn't all that bad. If you take
just
it,
a little... Can you cut down the rapiness just a little bit?
The rapiness was a little much.
Turn down, it'd be a great movie. Just turn down the rapiness.
I'm thinking Walt would be watching this going, "What the hell have you done to my..." I mean, the idea of making Maleficent a good person and everything and taking it to a whole different direction, not a bad idea. And of course, Angelina Jolie was perfect.
Yeah.
In the role.
Sure.
She brought along, because the rest of them were a little like Stefan, who was the main protagonist, boring as hell. Aurora, just wide-eyed and fine, but nothing special. The prince, even just a flat line. The three fairies, comedy relief, not really, were relegated to being pretty useless instead of in the you know, in the original, remember they gave him the sword and they gave him the shield. They couldn't find their butt with both hands in this movie. So they were just dumb because they had sold themselves off to try to get peace to Sleeping Beauty and stop the curse and everything. So they were just dumb women who just did whatever men did or something like that. I mean, you could kind of see all these subtexts running through it. And I'm like, but it's Sleeping Beauty. Why? Is this necessary? But it's like Lena Dunham wrote it.
Okay.
This is what happens when you have pissed off feminists rewrite Sleeping Beauty. You get Maleficent. And again, executed reasonably well. Great acting by Jolie, good special effects, an interesting idea, but...
And that interesting idea only works if you've had the original story told the way it was told.
True, it does.
Yeah.
But it then, but the idea of men's victimization on women and the raping of Maleficent, you know, symbolically by cutting off her wings, was just so in your face. And just watching this going, oh my, this is just going to... I mean, can't she just be evil?
Yeah.
And that was what I was kind of asking myself. Can't she just be evil? Can't we just retell it live with new special effects and just retell it the way it is? I mean, that would have been pretty cool. But no. Maleficent was raped.
Had to be all rapey.
You're getting a phone call.
No, I'm getting a text.
Oh, you're getting a text.
Yeah.
That was loud. Why? Can't you turn that down while we're doing our show? You have to get texts on the damn screen. You have like 15 screens on here. I'm like driving in kit. Do you have turbo boost? Because that would be awesome.
This does have turbo.
It does have turbo, but does it have turbo boost where you jump over things for no reason? Okay.
It just has turbo.
I'm very disappointed. So, okay.
So I've got a Ford Fusion and it has EcoBoost.
That's EcoBoost.
That
means every time you step on the gas, the car shits dandelions.
No, it has really good...
Butterflies come flying out the exhaust pipe.
It has really good gas mileage because it's a four-cylinder. So that's the eco part, but it's turbocharged, so that's the boost.
They cancel each other out.
If I stomp on the accelerator, it
pretty much just cancels each other out.
If I'm out on the highway, I get nice, decent gas mileage, which is good, but it still has some zip to it.
It's nice. I got to tell you, interior's nice. And you're giving me all kinds of shit about my Acadia money. You guys should see all the luxuries in this thing. I hope you hit a deer.
You hope a deer materializes out of nowhere in front of the car.
They'll still be a hit, won't there?
Well, that would technically be a deer hitting me.
Okay, not I'll give you that a deer. One. I was just driving along, minding my own business, and Bambi decided to kill me. All right, so we're getting close to home. Do we want to do this?
I don't know. We got
tomorrow morning.
Yeah, sure.
Are you gonna like research anything or? Look up anything?
No.
Bring anything to the table?
Are you kidding? I don't bring anything to this discussion.
You're like, I drove. Just, what do you want?
I'm paying for the gas.
You're paying for the gas. Okay, whatever.
So, yeah, we'll talk about Big Hero 6 tomorrow.
We'll talk about Big Hero 6 tomorrow. That's a good idea.
And in the 2 minutes we have left, we can talk about Saving Private Ryan. So, shooty, 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 kill, kill, kill. And then gore, blood. Have you seen Private Ryan? No. Okay, shooty, 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 kill, kill, kill.
Matt Damon.
And then they find him.
They find him.
And then
you see the old guy and you cry.
Yeah.
Well, I think that about sums it up.
Yeah.
A white flag patriotism.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good movie. First time I ever saw it. Back in 90 whatever. Was that 3? 98. Oh, okay. Sounds about right. Sure.
It is right.
I would trust you.
You should.
98. So the first time I saw it, I rented it. I didn't go to the movie theater. I rented it, and I watched it on like a Saturday morning, like 6 o'clock.
That's perfect. You got your Fruit Loops there. You're just frozen there with the spoon in front of you going, oh my freaking God.
I watched the first 15 minutes of that movie and I had to shut it off because I physically got sick. I got sick to my stomach and I literally went to the bathroom and I threw up.
Did you really?
I did. That, wow. That is a true story.
You're a pussy.
Well, I had never seen a movie like that ever.
I went and saw it in the theater.
Yeah.
In beautiful surround.
I bet.
Maxi scope.
Yeah.
And
yeah. I was... I'm glad they didn't have 3D technology back then.
Let me just say they left.
That was heart wrenching.
I left a mark shaped impression in the back of the seat that didn't go away.
Oh, that just gut wrenching. If you want to be in the military and you're 17 years old, you got to watch that movie.
Because you will no longer want to be in the military.
Yeah, you will. You will definitely not be that excited. At least if you do want to be in the military, God bless you. But if you watch that movie, at least you're going in with your eyes wide open.
Yep.
Because that is probably the most graphic representation of war I've ever seen. And I have no idea what war's like, but if it's anything like that, if it's
sign me up.
Yeah.
I want to pick up my own arm out of the dirt.
Yeah.
Well, we are home.
On that cheerful note.
Yeah, you really ended on a high note, don't you?
Sure.
Why did you get sick this time?
No. Okay. Nope, I did not.
Good.
All right, well, we'll see you guys after the break.
Yep, we will see you on the other side. What was that? Oh, you need gas.
I need gas.
Golly. Good gas mileage, my ass.
Hey, we went there and back on it. 4th and tank. Okay. Well, an 8th and a tank. I don't know.
Shut up. We'll be back on the other side.
Thank you.